All throughout the story, all throughout the Bible, we see God doing some amazing things through men and women that were totally committed to Him. And this week, we're looking at the life of a man named Daniel. Most of us have been raised in the church, probably remember the Daniel in the lion's den story. What we may not realize or remember is, what was it that caused him to be thrown into the lion's den? Was it because he was doing everything right? Not at all. It was because he was in the lion's den because of his uncompromising faith in Almighty God. Now, that can seem very unusual for some of us as Christians, because if we're not careful, we read the Bible, we go to church, we hear almost all the time, if you do the right thing, you will get rewarded, not punished. But you and I know that's not true, because many of you maybe have taken a stand at work or taken a stand at school, and you were not promoted, you were made fun of, or maybe you even lost your job or you got in trouble. How do we live a life of faith and integrity in the midst of a growing unchristian culture? I want us to look at how Daniel was able to do it. First of all, let me give you a little background on Daniel's life. He was a teenage boy that was taken captive as a slave into exile from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon in modern-day Iraq. He was one of many young boys that were selected for leadership, and they gave him a 3-year course, if you will, of training in Babylonian culture and language. He quickly rose to the top of his class, and King Nebuchadnezzar put him in charge of the entire nation of Babylon. Wait a minute. How could a young Hebrew get ahead working as a servant in another culture? How do you and I get ahead at our workplace when the environment we're in may be hostile to Christianity? Well, I believe Daniel, first of all, resisted bitterness. He didn't blame God for his situation. He worked hard and made the best of a bad situation. He respected his supervisors, even though they did not have his faith. And so he bowed to their authority. He was under their authority, and he served them with humility. Thirdly, he had a strong moral compass. He would not refuse, or he would not compromise his faith in Almighty God. You and I face the same thing. And so Daniel served King Nebuchadnezzar faithfully for over 65 years, from a young teenage boy all the way up till he was almost 85 years of age, and King Nebuchadnezzar died. A new king named Darius comes to power, and he appoints Daniel as one of his top leaders. As I said, he is now an old man, but even with a new king, Daniel still has to have his faith put to the test. And so again, he asks the question, how will he continually stand up for God and put Him first in the midst of a culture that worships many gods? I want us to look today at Daniel's life, at his life qualities, the things that made up his character, the things that made him stand out, stand above his peers. If you have the story, turn to page 257. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Daniel chapter 6 in the Old Testament. And let's look at the bottom of page 257 in the story. It says this, it pleased Darius, who was the king, to appoint 120 satraps, that's a word we're not familiar with, let's use the word officials or overseers, to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The overseers were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the overseers by his exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Do you get the picture? There's 120 that are overseeing the kingdom. There's 3 over the 120, and now Daniel is chosen to be above the 3 and be over them. After this happened, the administrators and overseers tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. Sounds like a little jealousy, doesn't it? In the conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, they said, we'll never be able to find any dirt on this guy unless it has something to do with the law of his God. And so they went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. That's major suck up is what they're doing. The royal administrators and all the governors agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown in the lion's den. And so he didn't know there was a plan B. He didn't know that they were doing a covert operation to get Daniel, and so it sounded good. And so the king, Darius, put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. These men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish this?" they said. And they said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, then there's a guy here praying named Daniel, and he needs to be thrown into the lions because he has disobeyed your decree." Now, you know now why Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. I want us to look at Daniel's life qualities. Number one, I believe he had an exceptional attitude. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 says he's so distinguished. He set himself apart from everybody else by his exceptional qualities. You see, if you want to be a different maker, you must take a close look at your attitude. He had an exceptional attitude. It's easy for us to put on a mask and fake our attitude, but the real acid test is, what are you like at work? What are you like at home? What are you like when no one is looking, when you're alone? Not what are we like when we come to church where we have to be nice, but what are we like when we go to work on Monday, or at the end of a long day, or the end of a long week, or the end of a long drive home from the traffic, and we get home? What is our attitude then? Do we have an exceptional attitude? A skycap at a major U.S. airport was checking a man through at curbside, and he accidentally knocked over his luggage, and he apologized, but the person was irate. And he began to verbally abuse him in front of everybody else. And the skycap apologized, but he just kept smiling and doing his job. And finally, the guy kept his verbal assault until he headed off to catch a plane. The guy next in line observed all this, and he said to the skycap, "I can't believe the composure you had. I can't believe in the midst of all of that harassment and verbal abuse that you were able to have humility and control. How in the world can you keep cool in a situation like that?" And the skycap said, "It's really pretty easy. You see," he said, "that man is on his way to Detroit. What he doesn't know is his bags are on the way to Denver." Well, that's an interesting attitude. Not sure it's exceptional. Let me ask you, will your boss notice if you have an exceptional attitude? Notice, he will be amazed by your exceptional attitude and impressed by it. I promise you, if you have a great attitude, trouble will not come from your boss. Sometimes trouble will come from coworkers who are indifferent and insecure and dishonest. That's why Daniel suffered. His peers plotted against him. They were jealous. They tried to trap him. And so they watched him all the time. It'd be like an investigative reporter's following you around everywhere you went. And the Bible says they found nothing bad on Daniel. How disappointing. No, how remarkable. In fact, it seems impossible, doesn't it? No dirt, no gossip. Daniel's character and job performance was above reproach. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." So the question is, where did this exceptional attitude from Daniel come anyway? Remember, he's a young teenager. I believe this attitude started when he was young. That's why the decisions we make when we're young impact our destiny as we get older. It's not that you wake up one day at age 35 and say, "I think I'm going to have a great attitude and work hard and become successful." It just doesn't happen that way. It has to start when you are young, when you develop those character traits and life qualities that will determine your destiny. Maybe it was that long walk, hundreds of miles from Jerusalem all the way to Baghdad as a teenager, where he had day after day to think about his future. And maybe he said, "God, I don't know what's going on now, but I believe you're in control. How in the world do you want to use me? How do you want me to make a difference?" You see, when you're young, you cannot choose your destination, but you can choose your direction. I want to repeat that. When you're young, you can't choose your destination, but you can choose your direction. That's why, moms and dads, it's so important that you have your children involved in the youth and children's programs on all three of our campuses. We don't want to take your place as the spiritual influence. We want to come alongside you as parents. And together, we want to do what? Set the foundation so we can train your children and point them in the right direction. They can develop the attitude while they're young. I want to ask you, what kind of an attitude do you have when you're placed in a difficult situation? What kind of an attitude would your fellow workers say you have? Daniel had an exceptional attitude. Secondly, his quality was he had personal integrity. Verse 4 says that they tried to find charges against him, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was neither corrupt nor negligent. And so they said, the only way we're going to trap this guy is to find something to do with his faith, with the law of his God. So what was his occupation? He was, we call him today the chief of staff. He was over government affairs. He was trustworthy. Means what? He did what he said he was going to do. He was neither corrupt nor negligent. That says to me, he took care of his boss's things as if they were his own. Wouldn't you love to have a guy like Daniel as your neighbor, as your friend, as your fellow worker or employee? You see, personal integrity is more than a surface thing. Integrity is a lifestyle decision. It's where you get up every day and you decide in advance, this is the way I'm going to act and this is the way I'm going to speak, so that you live by choices instead of by circumstances. Now, I think this is important for us as parents. I don't know how you raise your children, but I believe it's vital in today's culture. When they're invited out to parties as teenagers, when they get ready to go in certain situations, you better sit down and have a talk with them in advance and say, if you're invited to a party, what are you going to do? If you're there and they're serving alcohol, somebody pulls a gun, what are you going to do? You need to be able to talk in advance to prepare them, because you see, if we don't teach our children in advance of how to respond, then most of the time they what? They get in a situation and they react. That's not just good advice for kids. That's good advice for us as parents, as adults. Before you do something each day, before you go into certain situations or meetings or maybe a compromising situation, do you think in advance of how you're going to react and what you're going to do? Or do you wait until you get in the moment and then you try to do it on the fly? That is bad advice. You see, are we living by choice or are we living by circumstances? Daniel had personal integrity. Talent is a gift, but character is a choice. And isn't it interesting today in our culture, my opinion, we put way too much emphasis on the talent, the outward appearance, the outward looks, are you the right height, the right weight, all of this stuff. And really, the key is, if you happen to be good looking and the right height and all that, have the right amount of hair, it's a gift. But what you do with what you have is a choice. And so we think of personal integrity. We think of somebody today in our culture. We've just been reading about General Petraeus, a talented, gifted military leader, but compromised his character and had an affair with a younger woman, and it's led to his resignation. General Norman Schwarzkopf said, 99% of leadership failures are failures of character. I'm going to repeat that. 99% of leadership failures are failures of character. And on all three campuses, we have hundreds of A leaders, men and women, that are difference makers. You're put in situations to make a difference. And if you fall, it'll be because you compromise your character. Four preachers from the same town were playing golf together, and they began to talk about their churches, about their life between golf shots. And finally, it got to the point they were getting pretty personal. They were talking about their personal struggles in ministry and even some sins they were dealing with. And the first one said, I'll go first. He said, I want you to know that I hit the bottle every once in a while. I preach against it in my church, but the truth is, when I get away from the church, somehow I can't resist taking more drinks than I should. The second preacher said, really, I don't have a problem with drinking, but I have a problem with gambling. He said, when I get away from home and I go to Las Vegas, I spend money that I don't have and I'm totally out of control. The third preacher said, I don't have a problem with drinking. I have a problem with gambling, but I admit I cheat on my income tax. I take speaking assignments on top of my salary and I don't report those, and the government never knows how much money I get. The fourth preacher was listening quietly. They said, aren't you going to share? He said, well, you guys have been honest, so I guess I'll be honest, I don't have a drinking problem, I don't have a gambling problem, I don't cheat on my income tax, but I do have one serious problem. He said, I love to gossip, and I can hardly wait till I get back to town to tell everybody what I've heard. That's bad. That is bad. What about Daniel? He had personal integrity, and those people following Daniel became frustrated. They said, we can't catch this guy. doing anything wrong, unless it's in the worship of his God. And so they went to the king and bypassed the HR department. They couldn't find dirt in his life. They said, let's design a law where his convictions and his faith will automatically get him in trouble. And so the law was, you can't bow down to God Jehovah. You have to bow down to this. Daniel was put in a very difficult situation. He had to make a choice. Will I obey God or will I obey man, the king? Let me ask you, what would you do? Because you see, if you think about the choice that we have to make sometimes on following God and maybe losing our job, we can say, Don, you have no idea how I'm suffering. Daniel chose between not his job, he chose between following God and spending a night with lions to be eaten to death. That's conviction. That's integrity, that you will put your life on the line for your faith. Daniel's faith is interesting and a good advice for us in the marketplace. He doesn't grandstand his faith. He doesn't go open, throw open the windows and shout everybody, hey, I'm praying again. He doesn't do that. He doesn't carry a big, thick Bible to work and put it down and let everybody know that this is where I'm at. Neither does he go in and close the door and close the windows and pull the shades and pray so that nobody has a clue what he's doing in his faith. He doesn't go to work, and if people ask him he's a Christian, he would never say that because he's afraid. No, what does he do? He simply doesn't hide his love for God. He doesn't grandstand his faith. He just keeps doing what he's been doing day after day and week after week, what he's always done. That is a person of integrity. Professors James Kuntz and Barry Posner have spent more than 25 years studying leaders in every walk of life. They asked 75,000 people in six different continents this question, quote, what values, personal traits, or characteristics do you look for or admire in a leader? I want to repeat that. What values, personal traits, characteristics do you look for or admire in a leader? 75,000 people, six continents, and one word kept coming back over and over and over. Now, before I tell you that word, on all three campuses, I want you to turn to somebody next to you and out loud say, here's what I think the word is. Here's the quality that I think they were looking for. Go ahead, say it out loud to each other. Seventy-five 75,000 people, six different continents. Here was the one word most valued or admired by leaders. It's the word honesty. Honesty or integrity is a quality that most enhances or damages our reputation. The third life quality of Daniel, he had a consistent faith. Consistent. Says what? He went home to his upstairs room three times a day, got on his knees and prayed to God, giving thanks. The last few words, what? Just as he had done before. What did Daniel do when the edict came out? He did not panic. He prayed. Why? Three times a day he prayed. It was his habit. Daniel was so consistent in his faith and his prayer life that his enemies could trap him in the act. He was so consistent that his neighbors could set their watches by the side of the old man praying toward Jerusalem in his picture window. Three times a day, he renewed his commitment to God. Three times a day, he sought confirmation of God that he was on the right track. You see, prayer was a natural, consistent part of Daniel's life. I want to ask you a couple questions. Is your walk with God consistent? Can others see it 24/7, 7 days a week? Is your prayer life consistent? Can God depend on you same time, same place, day after day after day? I've got to confess, my prayer life is not as consistent as I would like because I often allow my schedule to get crowded. I allow other things to take priority from that consistent time, same place every day. Now, if we're not careful, we could say what? Oh, Pastor Don, I'm too busy. Well, Daniel didn't say that. He was the CEO of a nation. My excuse, I lose. Let me ask you, don't excuse yourself from prayer. from Bible reading, from neighborhood group, from worship, because you're too busy. Daniel's consistent walk with God was his first priority. Let me ask you, what's your first priority? And if we're going to shoot straight, for most of us in our culture today, our first priority is not God, it's our kids. And I want to say to you in love, as an old grandpa, that's not healthy for your kids, and it's not healthy for you in the long run. You must teach them to put God first. We must learn to be consistent. Consistency is an incredible value, incredible quality. You see, consistency is important in disciplining our kids. I wasn't always consistent. One day I was on them, next day I'd let it slide. When we are inconsistent in disciplining our kids, what? Frustration comes. Are we consistent in modeling our faith to others? Do we walk the talk? Are we consistent and dependable in the marketplace? Consistency is important if you're going to build a winning team. Consistency is important if you're going to have stability in your marriage. Consistency is important in our neighborhood ministry week after week if we're going to impact this city. Daniel had a consistent faith. Look again at his incredible qualities. He had an exceptional attitude. He was a person of integrity, and he had a consistent faith. And as a result of his godly life, they arrested him. You see, he faced a crisis. A crisis doesn't necessarily make character, but it does reveal it. When you and I are going through difficult times or a crisis in our lives, that is the time when our character really rises to the surface. Because you say, boy, that really made me stronger. No, it revealed how strong you were. You've heard me say before that in the English word, crisis means one thing. In the Chinese language, crisis is made up of two words, danger and opportunity. So they would say a crisis is a dangerous opportunity. And when you and I face a crisis in life, it is a dangerous opportunity for other people to see God at work in our lives. And that's why consistency and faithfulness, those are incredible values. And those are values that we as a church on all three campuses need to show more now than ever before. Because when the church begins to move, the devil begins to take notice. And God is doing great things in this church on all three campuses. We are on the move. I want to ask you, would you begin to pray daily for your neighbors and coworkers? Would you begin to pray that you would share your faith with boldness in the marketplace? Would you pray for our church and our staff? We need your consistent prayers that God would be in everything that we do. What are some takeaways, some practical things that we can take out and use with us in our life? Let me share some of those. Number one, you seldom get what you deserve from people, so don't expect it. Think of how many times you expected something from another person and they didn't come through. Remember how disappointed you were? Don't let yourself get discouraged. When you do what's right, you're an excellent employee, but you don't get a compliment, you don't get a promotion, or maybe you even get demoted because they know you're a strong Christian. Don't become angry when your coworkers talk behind your back about your faith. You say, well, why not? Well, wait a minute. Daniel didn't get upset. He wasn't surprised when his enemies accused him. Why was that? Here's the difference. I believe Daniel said, I'm not going to try to please other people. I'm going to try and please God. And when you and I, our desire is to please others more than pleasing God, we will get upset and disappointed when those people don't come through and respond in the way that we want to. You seldom get what you deserve from people, so don't expect it. Secondly, you always get what's best from God, so don't doubt it. Now, here's the problem. It may not come when you think it's going to come. It may not come at the right time or in the way you expect. But listen, it will come. Why? Because God is faithful. That's His quality. God will keep His promises. He never fails. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Thirdly, your ability to handle both is directly related to your consistent walk with God. Both what? Blessing and adversity. Because you see, when we have blessings, we tend to get higher in a kite. When we face adversity, we get down in the dumps, and we're up and down emotionally in our faith all the time. Listen, you can handle the highs and the lows better when you have a consistent walk with God. How did Daniel do it? He remembered Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah's prophecy said, you will go in exile and you will suffer, but you will be returned. And he said, listen, I know we're going to suffer, but I know God's going to bring us home. And you and I can handle the honors, we can handle the compliments, we can handle the problems, we can handle the attacks when our walk with God is consistent. Bible says God's faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He'll provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God's promise, I'll never give you more than you can handle. God's promise, I'll help you get through it. But our promise to God must be in the midst of everything. God, I will stay close to you at all times. Because what separates those who thrive from those who survive is how they face their problems. We all face problems, it's inevitable, but how we respond is optional. Church, let us stay close to God. Number four takeaway, I want to ask you, in what area are you willing to take a stand? Last blank, don't check out, hang with me. Martin Luther said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Wow. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Are you willing to take a stand? Daniel had to take a stand. He had to honor God no matter what the culture believed. But look what happened. His consistent walk with God impacted an entire pagan nation. He was a part of God's story. But wait a minute. We're all a part of God's story. God wants to use us to impact our neighborhood, our city, our school, this nation as well with His good news. How do we do that? By being consistent and people of integrity in the midst of an unholy culture. By sharing our faith with boldness to every person we come in contact with. And by making a decision that we will take a stand for God no matter what the cost. So I ask you, what area of your life are you going to step to the plate and take a stand for Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs? Because that's the only way we're going to turn this nation back to God. Let's pray. Lord God, reading the Bible, the story, your story, is incredible because we see these men and women of faith, and sometimes I think we see them as extraordinary and we're ordinary, but the truth is they were just like us. But it was their ordinary, extraordinary faith that allowed them to be used by you. And so I pray today that on all three campuses, as we look at ourselves, and we might say we're not the right height or the right weight or the right color of hair or not pretty enough or not rich enough or whatever it is. And that's not the issue. The issue is, are we faithful enough that we will decide every day in advance, God, today is a gift of life, and you put me here to make a difference, and so I'm willing to be used by you. Surprise me by the people you put in my path, and may I share with them the difference that you've made in my life. That is our task. Give us the courage to be open to your leading, and when you open the door, may we step through with boldness and faith. In your name we pray. Amen.